Peppermint Dawn?
Avinu Shabbat. Yitkadash Shmecha Avinu Shebashamayim Yitkadash Shmecha Tavo malchutecha yaseh ratzoncha ba'aretz kasher na'asa b'shamayim liyomi ulami Kilecha hamamcha behagua behatiferet leyomei olami olami.
Yeshua El Yakan, say to me, Ve'atufana Peicha, Korim Necha, Immanuel, Baruch.
Good morning, everyone. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
It's we're ready to get started here at Ar Yehuda Messianic Congregation. This is 1128 New Hampshire Avenue in Bristol, Virginia. And we're here to worship the Lord and to bring Him praise and to bring our blessing to Him and to come together so He can bless us. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's stand up and enter into the Shabbat together. Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Hey, Shabbat Shalom. Hey, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom, hey, Shabbat Shalom, hey, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom, hey, Shabbat Shalom, hey, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Yom Zel Yisrael. Yom Zel Yisrael, Ora Vesimcha. Yom Zel Yisrael, Ora Vesimcha. Ora Vesimcha. Shabbat Menucha. Yom Zel Yisrael, Ora Vesimcha. Shabbat Menucha. Shabbat Menucha. Hey, hallelujah. Let's greet each other with a hug and a grin, handshake. Hallelujah. Oh, this day for Israel. This day for Israel. This day for Israel, filled with light and joy. This day for Israel, filled with light and joy. Filled with light and joy. A Sabbath of Israel. This day for Israel, filled with light and joy. A Sabbath of Israel, a Sabbath of Israel. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And let's bless the Messiah, who is our King. He is our coming King. He is our King now. Amen. Hallelujah. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher natin lanu et derech ha-yeshua b'mashiach yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in Messiah Yeshua. Amen. Hallelujah. This is a traditional song, Matavu, and it talks about coming into the tents of the Lord, into his presence, into his house, and that's where we are today. Oh, good.
love the house where you dwell, and
the place where your glory resides. I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation. Hallelujah. We're going to do the Veshamru here in a second, but I just want to say that for those of you who are not used to liturgy, maybe some of you are, it's really a time where we kind of just cultivate our hearts and go over the Word of God and let it sink into our hearts and it just mull around in there and remind ourselves of His promises to us. Amen. So this liturgy is repetitive, but it also helps us to enter into the presence of the Lord. So I encourage you to do so and, you know, focus on the words and take them to heart. Don't just say them. Think about them. Amen. So do you want to sing the Veshamru, Rabbi? Okay. Hallelujah.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom, Shabbat Rabbi.
Shalom. Diane. Okay.
And if you can't see up on the screen, I do have the page numbers listed there in the purple siddur. Veshamru is on page 46, if you'd like to follow along in the book itself.
Veshamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat Lasod ha-shabbat ledoratam barit olam Veshamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat Lasod et ha-shabbat ledoratam barit olam B'nei u'b'nei b'nei Yisrael B'nei Yisrael ohi le'olam Veshamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat Lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam Ki sheshet yamim asa Adonai et shemayim v'yet haaretz Veshamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat Lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam
Yom ha-shvihi Shabbat v'nafash
Shabbat v'nafash Shabbat v'nafash Veshamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat Lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam
Children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant.
It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever.
For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed.
And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. One of the prayer directives in the Bible is that we are to pray for Israel and pray for Jerusalem. And so we always do that on Shabbat.
Pray for Jerusalem that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her.
More bass in the monitor, please.
And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem that there'll be peace and war.
The city of heads. Let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Abba, Father, we thank you for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray, we know that that means the coming of the Messiah, because that's who will bring shalom. That's what shalom is. Shalom is messianic peace in Israel. And it's a time that's coming to Israel, Lord. And we know that you're coming and you will establish shalom in Israel. And we pray for you to come. Lord, come, Yeshua, bo, come to Israel. And remove the scales from the eyes. Your word says in Zechariah 12, and they shall look upon me whom they've pierced, as a father mourns for an only son. And they will mourn for you, and they will see you, and they will know that you are the Messiah, that you are the King, you are the Son of David, and you are the Savior, and you are their only hope. And we thank you, Lord, that day is coming soon. And Lord, I pray, but even until then, that you remove the scales one by one, Lord, from their eyes. And I pray, Lord, as these riots are taking place, that you just deal with the perpetrators according to your judgment, not man's. You deal with those perpetrators. And I pray, Lord, that you stop these murders of police officers and as they in the gates around the temple, when they go to patrol, that they've been stabbed and killed. In the last, just about 10 days ago, an Israeli policeman who was actually a Druze, which is a sect of Muslim, he was stabbed and killed, and he had a 3-week-old baby. And we just pray, Lord, that that their knives would fall to the ground, Lord, that they would cut themselves with them. Pray that their guns would jam, and that their cars would stall when they try to run over Israelis, Jews, and that their rockets would blow up on the launch pads and fall in the desert. Pray, Lord, for great wisdom for Prime Minister Netanyahu, for our friends in the cabinet. I pray for Dr. Eli Nach. Lord, that you would fulfill his purpose in Israel, Lord. I just pray for my friend Ellie, Lord, that you fulfill his purpose and give him great favor and great wisdom, great success in his, because he has a great heart. I pray also, Lord, for Dan Orion, the ambassador of Macedonia. Lord, I just pray for Dan, and he's a great man. And that you bless him, Lord, and help him to fulfill his destiny. Pray for you would bring righteous government to Israel. And Lord, I pray for the messianic leaders, Lord. First, I want to pray for Jeff Adler, and our sister in St. Louis, Lynn Feinberg, Lord, who lost her husband, and Jeff, who's been struggling with recovering from heart surgery and heart problems, that you strengthen him and that you strengthen her, and help all the rabbis that are sick, heal them, bring them back to health. You know their needs, you know their financial needs, Lord. Those who are struggling, those who are having a tough time, Lord, help them. And cause our leadership to consider and to take care of their own, Lord. Cause our leadership to consider and take care of their own like other denominations do, Lord. We're not a denomination, but cause them to consider and take care of their own, Lord, and cause them to walk in paths of righteousness, not turning to the left or the right. And give them boldness, give the rabbis boldness to preach the gospel, to preach the truth, to be prophetic, and to fulfill the calling, the great high calling of being the rabbi. I pray in Yeshua's name, and that you bless our leader, Joel Chernoff. Help him to walk in his fullness of his destiny and calling, and his wife, Miriam. And I pray for the salvation of the Jewish people, Lord. May the scales be removed from their eyes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Mom, Harriet. We love her today. Pray that she has a good day. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. servant of the Lord.
Oh, servant of the Lord, I'm sorry. I'll wake up for a minute. And now the Lord says, He who formed Israel in the womb to be His servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel to Himself. For he is honored in the eyes of the Lord. God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Amen.
Asher enochi mitzavcha hayom al levavecha v'shinatam levanecha v'dibarta bam b'shivtecha b'etecha v'lechtecha v'aderech u'v'shach b'cha v'kumecha u'kishartam li'ot al yadecha v'hayu l'totafot b'neinecha u'chetavtam al mezuzot b'etecha Uvisharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God.
The Lord is one.
Blessed is the name of His glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
I'm going to ask Greg and... let's see. always do it. Let's Dante, would you like to carry the Torah today? Okay, so Greg and Dante, if you would come and carry the Torah.
There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns. The Lord has reigned. The Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Amen.
Out there, raise up your branches. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That is a wonderful imagery in the Bible, talking about the trees of the field, and we are his trees. Amen. We are his branches, and we wave them before him, and we say, you are king, Lord. You are king. Amen. Hosanna. Hallelujah.
Vayehi ben Soharom vayeme Moshe Gurna Adonai yefutsu oyvecha Vianusu misanecha mimarnecha Ki mitzion tetze Torah Ki mitzion tetze Torah Udavar Adonai miYerushalayim Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Le'amo Yisrael B'kdushato. When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel.
Amen.
Amen. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah Baruch Hu et Adonai Hamavorah
Baruch Adonai
Hamavrach Yolam Vahed
Baruch Adonai Hamavrach Yolam Vahed Baruch Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Bachar Bani Mechol Amim Benatam Anu Et Torato Baruch Adonai Noten HaTorah Amen.
Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One, for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Okay, we're finishing up today. It's a double portion of Maidah and Maaseh. And it's from Numbers 30 through chapter 36. So it's the final Torah portion in the book of Numbers. And if you read it today, it's an unusual Torah portion. And it's maybe the one that's most provocative. A lot of people have the most comments about because of the fact it talks about war, and it talks about killing people, and actually there's a piece of it where Moses actually becomes unhappy or distressed because the Israelites are fighting the Mennonites, and they didn't kill enough of them. So he sends them back, and he says, you left the women and children alive. So he has to go back painfully to go back to kill more people. So they have to go back, and they have to kill the women and the children to destroy the Mennonites completely. And that shows you the judgment. I think it's a picture of the judgment of God. He is a God of refuge. He's a God of mercy and grace, but he is also a God of judgment. We seem to forget that there is a judgment in God, and Yeshua will be the presider over it. You see, the Torah in the five books is eternal, and it is clear where it concerns the exodus of people. And that's what we're sort of talking about today. And I've just got a few brief comments to make this morning. If you want to get more of the Torah, you'll have to come to the class, because the next class we're going to be starting into the feast. So you can keep that in mind. I don't remember. It's going to be in August, first week of August. So today it talks about the 42 journeys or stations that the Israelites are proceeding through, leaving Egypt on the Exodus going to the Promised Land. And you see, with the 42 journeys, each one had a special perpetual significance. That is, and the journey was, it was going to take them many years to complete this journey. You see, the journey is compared, it's a shadow of our journey too, because our journey here upon the earth is a temporary journey, and it begins at birth. It's just like the Israelites, their journey actually began at birth when they left Egypt, because they were in bondage, they were slaves, and God frees them with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. And so their life really began when they walked out of Egypt. That was the beginning of their new life. And so is our life. When you're born, that begins your journey of life. And when we walk through our life, we find, like in Egypt, there are many Egypts in each of our lives. Each of us will have to pass through many Egypts, just like when the Israelites were in Egypt, they went through many things. It might be confinement within the secular world of something, or it may be a narrow scope of something within our minds. It's like Jacob's ladder. Each of the ladder rungs represents a station of life. And to begin the station of life, the first rung on the ladder is that we have to prepare our lives through prayer. You see, God's word to man is the Torah, and when man prays, that is man's word back to God. That's us speaking back to God. And the first rung on Jacob's ladder, like the journey, is preparation. We have to be prepared to pray. We must get ourselves in a position. We have to remove self-sufficiency. We have to remove pride. We have to remove sin before we can even speak a word of prayer. We have to sort of get the plate clean so that we can come before God with a clean heart. But two of the mistakes that we make with our journey and actually to pray is that we think, a lot of us think, and I'm not moving myself out of this, a lot of us think that we've arrived so we can just sit back and rest and we don't have to really do anything. But you see, on the journey, you have to keep moving. You have no time really to rest because you are on a journey. It's like a trip, and it's the trip of your life. It's the same trip that I think the Israelites made with their 42 journeys. They didn't actually stay in every place. They didn't move every day. Some places they stayed for years. Other places they stayed various times. But there was no time. We have not arrived yet. We have not arrived yet. And the second thing that I find is that a lot of times we are in despair. We think that our efforts are all in vain, that we can never really complete what God wants us to do, that our efforts are incomplete. We can't do that. So we live in a life of despair, a lot of people. But you see, it's like becoming a believer and being baptized. We must destroy the old in order to rebuild something new. You have to destroy the old. If we destroy the old, you have to replace it with something better and something that's more stronger. And so our faith helps us and guides us to destroy and to rebuild. It's just like it's a picture of the of baptism. The old person dies and they're raised up to a new creature. It's like the scripture says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. You become a new person. It's like it's affliction and salvation. It's like the son who views when his father punishes him, he views that as evil because he is being punished or reprimanded. But the father, through his eyes, sees that the punishment is really something that is good for his son, that he will obey and walk according. You see, when we view this, we see mercy actually comes into kindness. And if you read the Torah portion this morning, you will see that strength is reflected in this Torah portion today. The parashah is a lot about a vow. Each leader of the tribe had a staff. Now, there's a difference. If you read the Torah, you'll see that there's mentions of staffs and there's mention of rods. A rod is something that bends. A staff is a piece of wood cut from a tree that is firm. It is unyielding. The staff would be hard, and it represents the vow. When you make a vow, you are saying in the power of your words what your intentions are, and a vow is taking something upon yourself when you make a vow. If our words are important, and they reflect, whether we believe it or not, your words reflect your character. They reflect who you are. So beware of your words that you speak. Do not speak out of words. You see, when you look at what God does, God made a vow. He made a covenant with Abraham. And though no matter what goes on in the world today, as we see the world, you know, it's sort of like the beginning of the Torah. There's war and rumors of wars, and there's upheaval. There's all the things that were going on then that's going on now. Nothing really has changed in thousands of years. But God made a vow with Abraham, and he made it with his ancestors, and that vow is going to be fulfilled at one day. God will not move from the vow or from the covenant. It doesn't matter what the world does or what the United Nations or what any government, any treaty says, what's written. What God has spoken, it will come to pass. You cannot change what God has set in order. So he made the vow with Abraham, and he said, your ancestors will enter in and inherit the land. And what does it mean by inherit? It means they will live there. They will raise families there. They will build homes. They will cultivate the fields. They will harvest the vineyards, and they will live in the promised land. So we're on a journey. You know, the journey is a road, and the road eventually leads to Zion, which is the new Jerusalem that's coming. And you see that when you find that road, there's something about it. You'll never die. Shabbat shalom.
Torah Asher Shamoshe Lifnei Bnei Yisrael Al Pionai Via Moshe.
And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hands. Amen.
Eschayim Ki Lamazikirba Betor
to those who hold fast to her,
and all who uphold her are blessed.
Her ways are ways of pleasantness,
and all her paths are peace.
Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord,
and we shall return. Renew our days as of old.
Amen. You may be seated. right. Well, welcome to Ari Yehuda, Messianic Congregation, and here in Bristol, Virginia. I want to welcome all our visitors, and especially, I think we're mostly family here in the house, but we've got the Platzes with us today back. We haven't seen you in a while, so let's welcome the Platzes. And did you bring Tanya? Good to see you again. Praise the Lord. And I hope you all are doing well, and we've missed you greatly. So it's good to have you back. Hallelujah. And we do also want to welcome, let's see, remind me of your name here in the middle. Yes. No. Carolyn. Okay. It's good to see you again, and great to have you. Where do you live, Carolyn? Close to Bluff City? Bluntville. Okay, great.
We won't hold that against you.
Okay, welcome, Carolyn Chapman. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And we also want to welcome everyone on the internet, as we said before. This is Bristol, Virginia. And if you live in the area and you're watching online, please come and join us in person and worship with us if you can. And here at Arihu, we worship together in unity, serving the Lord, and being a testimony for Israel, and like an embassy here in our area. So if you can't get to Israel, if you can't tour Israel, then you know all you got to do is walk down to Arihu to Messianic Congregation, and we are the representative of Israel in this area, and it's not that far, and it doesn't take hardly any money. to get here, amen. So come and visit Israel right here in the Tri-Cities, and you'll get a little taste of the land and the people. And God says that the land and the people are very close to Him. So that's where we're connected, amen. To the land and people of Israel. Okay, we just a few announcements and. Then we'll continue with our worship. Rabbi has got an awesome message today prepared. Amen. And yes. And so stay tuned for that. We have a couple things coming up. There's always new things popping up on the horizon. I do want to thank everyone for coming out to the dance camp. How many attended the dance camp on Thursday night? Okay, did you guys have a good time? Yeah. Hallelujah. I was so amazed. The worship, as we were worshiping, you know, as we were learning the dances, we were worshiping. Amen. God was really there in our midst. It was amazing. And the other thing is that Mindy is such an awesome teacher that most of those dances that we learned are not like beginner dances. And there were several people in our group that have, if you haven't danced before, it's maybe the first or second time that you danced. Who was it, your first time or second? It was Amber, and we had some, it seems like there was another person that was kind of a new person. Danita? Yes, Danita, that's right. And who? Robin, that's right. Robin had not really participated before. And did you find it easy to follow her? And she taught us some very complicated moves that I normally wouldn't teach to any beginner. But she got us all doing these wonderful dances. And so I just want to thank the Lord for that time that we had with them as just a treat. Okay, so coming up, I want you to mark your calendars, and I'll send things out on the internet, on the email. So everybody make sure your email's up to date, and also text messaging if you want to get notification of what's going on in the congregation. Please let me know so I can put you on our list, on our text message, and I'll send you stuff about what's going on for Oneg and for the lunch and other special things and reminders. So if you'd like to be included. Now, the only thing is that I have to have a cell phone
for that, so I can't put your home phone on there. And so that's how that works, okay? But coming up, we've got a prophecy conference, and I'll let Rabbi explain that in a minute. But a prophecy conference, July 31st to August 1st, we've got a special guest speaker, Patrick Lombroso, and he's from California. They're friends of the Sitas, Ralph and Mindy Sita, who did the dance, are friends of theirs from California, and he is going to come. And Rabbi Joe and Patrick are going to do a prophecy conference together. That's a Sunday and a Monday.
Yeah, Patrick Lombroso wrote a book on Revelation, and I didn't know who he was. I asked all the rabbis, over 150 rabbis, who he was. Nobody knew him. I asked a guy in Israel, a very famous guy, that didn't get back to me, and they approached me months ago about coming. And, you know, I don't usually just let anybody come up and preach, especially if I can't find out a reference. And then I got a call from Shimrit Haynes from Zemer Lavav saying, you got to have these people. They're great. And they're wonderful musicians. And you got to come and they got to hear them. Their music is wonderful. And he wrote a book on Revelation, going through the book of Revelation from chapter 1 to chapter 22, all the way through the book of Revelation. And so I've been wanting to do a prophecy conference. So we're going to do a mini prophecy conference on Monday, July 31st, and Tuesday, August 1st, with myself and Patrick Lombroso will be teaching. I'll be teaching on Daniel and Revelation from my perspective, and he'll be teaching his perspective on Revelation. And they'll be doing music. We'll be opening with music. It'll be wonderful. So please plan to come. Hopefully we'll start maybe in the afternoons, like 4 o'clock or so, so folks who can't be here at night can at least attend some classes in the afternoon. And, you know, and we'll be able to, maybe we'll have some kind of, you know, light bite or pizza or something in between, you know. But that's going to be Monday, July 31st and August 1st. We're going to have a mini prophecy conference here at our Yehuda Messianic Congregation, Monday and Tuesday night, so please plan to come. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we will give you further details. But the thing was, the interesting thing was, I got one person said to have them, and then Ralph and Mindy came and did the dance camp, and we've known about Ralph and Mindy for many, many years. We just never had them because we always had really top-notch dance leaders. For many, many years, we've had, you know, Maggie, and we had Maggie for 12 years. We didn't need Mindy. God bless. Mindy said is great, but we had Maggie, right? You know, so we didn't need that help. You know, we had Jean Mabry, and we learned dance, and we had a performance dance team. Now our dance team is not quite where it was as far as performance goes, but the heart is there. But we so we thought this is really a good time to have Mindy come and teach us some new things, and so praise the Lord. So they did, and it was a great night. I was there. I had my ballet shoes on, and I didn't dance, but I did have my ballet slippers on. Do you believe that, David? Good. I'm really, you're right on.
I don't think they make them that big.
Hey, Greg, is Paul dead? Okay. Hey, praise the Lord. All right, back to Don.
All right, one last schedule announcement, and that is another great person that we were just in touch with this week, Roy. It's Kendall. What's their name? I have it here. The Kendalls, Joe.
Roy and Mary Kendall.
Roy and Mary Kendall.
From Israel.
From Israel, thank you. Why don't you tell them about
coming.
That, too. On August.
On Shabbat, the 19th or 20th of August,
They are worship leaders, and they live. They're Christians who live in Israel. They love it. They love the Jewish people, and they're coming here to speak and sing for us. They are wonderful singers. You can look them up, Roy and Mary Kendall. They did a CD years ago called Out of Zion, but we may play some of their music. Don has been a big fan for 23 years at least. And so we've heard them in Israel, and we know them, and they're coming here. So we've got some really neat stuff coming up in the month of August, and God always has surprises.
That's right. So prepare for those special events coming up, and then, of course, don't forget fall feasts are right around the corner. September, I have it in your bulletin, 20th is when Rosh Hashanah starts. So the 3 weeks starting September 20th, we'll be really focusing on the Lord and revival, amen, and all the things that he has to say to us through his special feast. So keep that in mind. All right, and with that, one other announcement. Diane asked me to let you know, anyone, since we've sort of jump-started the dance, she wants to let you know that on Thursday nights from 6 to 9, she will be here to dance with anybody who would like to and learn some of the things and go over whatever we learned and put together some new things. So I encourage everyone, this is not a dance rehearsal. It's just a worship in dance time with Diane. And she's here on Thursday nights. So all she asks is that you kind of give her a little jog or a phone call or text or something that you're going to be here. But she'll be here from 6 to 9 on Thursdays. Okay? And that's all.
Okay. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, we're going to take up our tithes and offerings this morning, and I just want to share with you and the folks, anybody watching, one time many years ago, the Lord brought up Malachi 3 to me the other day, and the Lord brought up that scripture. You know, it says, will a man rob God? And it asked the question. It says, the Lord then answers his own question, says, but you say, how are you robbing me? And then he says, you are robbing me in tithes and offerings. And then the Lord says, test me in this and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing too big to contain. He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. And the tithe is the whatever you earn. You know, if you get $1,000, if you get $500, bring $50. If you get $1,000, bring $100. That's your tithe, you know. And before you pay your light bill, before you pay your gas bill, before you pay your mortgage, before you pay your taxes, before you pay your grocery bill, pay your tithe. Okay, that's what God's after. I know this firsthand. I'll tell you why. Because one time I sold a house, and I sold it, and I had a $9,500 tithe. This was about 20 years ago. I had a $9,500 tithe, and I was attending a little church in Abingdon. And I said, you know what? $9,500 is too much to bring to this little church. It's just too much. So I said, I'm going to give $2,500 to a mission that I supported. I'm going to give $2,500 of the $9,500 to a mission. Okay, so I went to the church and I put the check for $7,000 in the plate, and the pastor didn't know, and I sent $2,500 to the mission. But the word in Malachi says, bring it into my house. Let me ask you a question. What is God's house? Synagogue, church, where you worship, that's the house of the Lord, right? Doesn't say the mission. Doesn't say the ministry, doesn't say, you know, even though it's good to get, we'll get into that later. But the point is, so I brought 7,000 in, and I sent 2,500 to the mission. And you know, the pastor called me up, and he said, Joe, I want you to pray over the offering. And he didn't know what I'd put in the plate, $7,000. And I picked up the plate, and I said, Lord, bless this offering 100-fold. And I was all proud of myself, you know. Lord, bless this offering 100-fold in Jesus' name. And I thought, wow, I'm going to get a... And the Lord said, Joe, I'm going to give you 100-fold. Now, don't you wish you'd put all the $9,500 in there? Let's bring our tithes. Now, let's pray. Let's bow our heads. Your tithe is your rent to God. Your offering is what you bring above and beyond your tithe. And if you're watching at home and you don't have a home congregation and you watch us, you can support us, this ministry, and you can send your tithes and offerings at our website at www.forzionsake.org. And we appreciate it. It costs money for us to be on TV, and we appreciate your support. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your instruction, your teaching. We thank you for your for the fact that we have the opportunity to give back to you, not to people, but to you, that this money that we receive is for your purposes, for your kingdom, and it builds your work, your health, your vision, your plans, and has been doing so for 20 years. And we thank you in Yeshua's name that you, for those who are, this is their home, that they bring their tithes, and for those who are visiting, that they bring an offering. In Yeshua's name, amen.
To sow in tears shall surely reap in joy.
Sorrow.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
can blow a shofar if they like. Hallelujah. Billy, blow that shofar. Come on. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad that our God reigns. All right, Billy, one more time. Do it. Come on. Look at that mighty man of God back there. Woo! Hallelujah. Come on, everybody. Let's sing. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. People be glad that our God reigns. A fire goes before him and burns up all his enemies. The hills smell like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the blow the shofar and get that guy out of my house.
I'm going to blow the shofar and get that guy out of my house.
I'm going to shout because God says to shout.
I'm going to shout because God says to shout.
I'm going
to
clap because God says to clap.
I'm going to clap because God says to clap.
And I'm going to sing with my heart to him because God says he's going to give me the victory and this is my battle. Hallelujah. Come, let us go up to Zion. Let us draw near to the Lord, our God, because he is the one who gives us life.
Presence of the Lord.
everybody, clap your hands. Let's hear them nice and loud and strong. You know what? That chases the devil away too. So let's clap real hard so the devil gets out of here. Come on. That's like your weapon of war. All right. Because the Bible says clap your hands. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Shout unto God with your voice. Up on the triumph. Hey, clap your hands, all you people. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Shout unto God with your voice. Up on the triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He's a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us. The nations under our feet. Hey, Billy, blow that shofar. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Shout unto God with your voice. Up is a triumph. Together, lie, 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 lie. Let me hear ya. Strengthen you if you put on the joy of the Lord, but you have to put it on. He won't just drop it on you. Sometimes you gotta get it in there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's why we're supposed to dance. We're supposed to clap. We're supposed to sing. We're supposed to bring our offering of praise like a living sacrifice. It's a sacrifice sometimes to come in here and do these things when we don't feel like it, right? But that's our sacrifice. We don't have to come and cut the throat of an innocent lamb anymore. Our sacrifice is to just get out of ourselves and worship Him. Amen. That's part of it. It's not everything, but it's part of it. Give Him our bodies in sacrifice. Hallelujah.
You're my friend and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you
Thank you, Lord. Just release your Shabbat Shalom in this house, in this place, in our hearts. Release your Shabbat Shalom. Take our burdens. We cast our cares upon you. Cast all our cares upon you, Lord, because you care for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We cast all our burdens upon you. We lay them at your feet. Because when we don't know what to do, you are the one that we can turn to. We can cry out to you. When we haven't words to say, we can call on your name. We can just say, help, help, Lord, help me. Your word says that you help those who are needy, that you help the downcast, the downtrodden, those who call upon your name, that you are there for them, that you set them in a broad place, that man says he was in distress in Psalm 118. He says he called upon the Lord, and the Lord answered him and set him in a broad place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Deborah, if she would like to come and serve today. Would you like to come and serve? And Jean, would you like to serve today with Deborah? Thank you, Lord. And I'm going to bless the elements. If you're at home and you're watching us and you'd like to come to the, we're coming to the communion, to the Shulchan Adonai, the table of the Lord. If you'd like to join us, just grab yourself some matzah or some crackers, some grape juice or fruit of the vine of your choice, and you can prepare to join us as we bless the elements if you'd like to do that, okay? We do it every week here at Ari Yehuda, and we're glad you're with us, watching us, and we bless you. Please let us know you're watching. Please contact us online on Facebook or email us. Send us a note and just let us know you're there, that you're watching. We want to know, we want to say hello and know who's out there, okay? So thank you. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua the Messiah, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God sent his Son into the world to die for us. He was buried 3 days and three nights, and he rose from the dead on the third day. And it was a Passover night when he took the middle layer of this three pieces of bread called the unity, and he broke the middle layer, we call it the afikomen, that piece of bread, and he gave it to his disciples, his Jewish disciples, at Passover, like they do at every Passover meal. He gave the afikomen to his Jewish disciples, and he said, take this and do this in remembrance of me. And then he took that cup, that I blessed, third cup, the cup taken after the meal, and he said, this cup is the new covenant, the Brit Chadasha, the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sin. Hallelujah. Poured out for the forgiveness of sin. This cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sin. So we believe that these things represent what the Lord did for us. We welcome all people who are believers in the Messiah. If God has revealed his Son to you and you have received forgiveness through his blood, you've received forgiveness through his blood, and God has revealed his Son, we invite you to come. If you believe in transubstantiation, or if you believe that just symbolic, it's okay with me. As long as you believe that Yeshua, that Jesus is the Son of God, and that he is the only way to the Father, that he is the only way to salvation and to God, then we welcome you, okay? So let's prepare our hearts to come. Before we do, let's bow our heads for a moment. If there's anybody here today that does not know Yeshua, that does not know Yeshua, that does not know Jesus as their Messiah, and you would like to, Passover is a very personal thing. It's about having a personal relationship with Jesus and having the personal Redeemer. That blood, everybody say, this blood's for you. This blood's for me. This blood's for me. His blood was shed for me. Everybody say that. His blood was shed for me and my sins, so that I could live life more abundantly. If you don't know him today, let's close our eyes and bow our heads. If you would like to invite him into your life, and just raise your hand, and I'll pray with you. If you don't know Yeshua, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just raise your hand if you'd like to, and we'll pray together, okay? Hallelujah. If there's anybody here today that does not know the Lord, just raise your hand and we'll pray. Hallelujah. Do you know Yeshua today? Are you saved? If you died today, do you know where you'd be tomorrow? If you died today, do you know where you'd be tomorrow? Just raise your hand and say, Rabbi Joe, I want to receive Yeshua, Jesus, as my Savior. If you don't know the Lord, if you'd like to know him today, all you have to do is ask. Just raise your hand and I'll pray with you if you don't. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right. And folks at home, if you're watching and you don't know the Lord, all you have to do is just tell the Lord you messed up. Tell him you've broken his laws. Confess that you've broken his laws. Confess your sins. And ask him to forgive you. To forgive you for what you've done. Ask him to wash your sins away by his blood, to come into your life, come into your heart, take control of your life, surrender. You need to surrender your heart to him, and then thank him and ask him to teach you how to walk with him. And you can just do that in the privacy of your own home. And that's all you have to do, okay? You can do it in your car, do it in the shower, you can do it in your bedroom, you can do it walking your dog, you can do it, in your basement, your prayer closet, wherever you happen to be, okay? There's no, you don't have to be in a synagogue or a church, okay? All right, let's prepare our hearts to come and receive the grace. This is a table of grace. His suffering is our grace. Amen? His suffering is our grace. And so his punishment is our peace. His stripes is our forgiveness. Amen? So when you come to this is a table of grace. So no matter how much you've messed up, He's saying, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. If you've messed up, he's saying, I took that. I paid the price for your screw up. he took it all for you. So this is a table of grace. So there's nothing you can do that would make you unworthy to come to this table. There's nothing you can do that would make you unworthy to come to this table. Even though sometimes we don't feel worthy to come, there's nothing you can do that would make you unworthy. So let's prepare our hearts. If you need to get right with God, confess your sin, and then let's come to the table. The ladies are going to serve you. Thank you.
Sing on.
Test 1, 2, there we go. All right. Praise the Lord. Thank you, ladies. L'chaim, to life in Yeshua. Amen. Okay, we're going to bless the children. So, do you want to bless the children or are you going to send them down? Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Kids, come on up and let's gather around and we'll pray for them. Dawn seems to have lost her voice. So, praise the Lord. Come on up. Adults, don't be shy. The kids aren't. Let's surround them and if you don't know the children, you want to pray for them, just stretch your hand out to them. Okay. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for our children. Lord, we thank you for the kids. And we love them and we thank you, Lord, they're precious. And every one of them here, from Joey and Daniel and Brooke, and what's your name, young man?
Riley.
Riley? Oh, Riley, I know you. I knew you when you were just a peanut. Known you for a long time. And Josh and Billy and Xavier and Isaac and Chandler and all the, and Blake, Ezekiel and Solomon. Mark and Reason and all the children who are here and who are not here, Lord. We just bless them, Lord. We thank you that they are arrows in our quiver, that they are the beginning of our strength, that they are our heritage, that they are the future, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that you prepare them for their destiny, Lord, that you teach them, Lord, that that their lives would be filled with lessons for their future, that they would take life seriously, Lord, and that they would count, Lord, teach them to number their days. Teach these children to number their days. As the psalmist says, Lord, teach us to number our days that we may have a heart of wisdom. Teach these children to number their days that they may have a heart of wisdom. Teach them, prepare them for the challenges of life and for their career, their future. Prepare them for their helpmates, Lord. Prepare their helpmate in life for them. And just groom them and make them ready for that special day. Lord, we just pray in the name of Yeshua. We pray that you knit them together as brother and sister in unity. Open their ears, anoint their ears to hear the word today, anoint their teachers, heal Miss Dawn's voice, anoint their teachers to share the word, and if Miss Dawn needs help, if somebody would help her, do you need help today?
Maybe.
She says she may need help going downstairs, so if somebody who knows how to work with the kids could go and help her, that would be great. We just pray for her voice, that you restore it and strengthen her voice. And thank you for all the hard work that she does, Lord, in preparing for Shabbat every week and minister and just keeping this congregation running, Lord, behind the scenes. Thank you, Lord. And we just bless them, bless the teachers, anoint them, let the words of their mouth and the meditations of their heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. In Yeshua's name, we bless all the children watching and the families who might be watching. We bless them and the grandchildren with the same blessings that we prayed over these kids. And for those kids playing sports, for Isaac and Josh and anyone else playing football or soccer, I just pray that the Lord gives you the strength of Samson, the speed of Elijah, the cunning of David, and the warrior spirit. I pray the Lord gives you the humility of Moses and the wisdom of Solomon as you go into battle this season. And I pray the Lord's protection over our children as they go into sports, that you guard them and give your angels charge over them and their teammates. Protect them from harm, from broken bones and injuries, from all the things that, and concussions and things like that. Just protect them from harm as they go into their sports this fall. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen. Thanks, Charlie. Okay. Yeah, I'm good. Okay. For the folks that are watching at home, I'm Sid Roth. Just kidding. No, I'm really Jonathan Burness. I'm Rabbi Joe Bell. And we're glad to have you with us today. Some of the famous rabbis are Jonathan Kahn. He's JC. Jonathan Burness is JB. Joel Chernoff is JC. I'm Joe Bell. And I tell people, since I work for Joel Chernoff, I haven't earned my L yet. So I'm just Joe Bell, not Joel. But a lot of people call me Joel, but I guess they've called me worse. I went to Ryan's Steakhouse one time, and the waitress called me a ribeye. That's a true story. Dawn told her I was a rabbi, and she said she came back and said, "Call me ribeye." Lord have mercy. Okay, one time I went to McDonald's, and I asked for a Caesar salad. Actually, this happened twice. I went to McDonald's, in East Tennessee, and they asked me, said, "Well, what kind of dressing would you like with your Caesar salad?" Caesar. Isn't that why I call it a Caesar salad? You know. Let's see. Okay. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for your grace and your mercy, for your compassion and your goodness and your loving kindness. Now bring forth your word. And let us be transformed by the renewing of our minds, Lord. Just to have your way here in this house, Lord. Release your spirit of grace and supplication. Release your spirit of freedom. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, Lord. And Lord, just we thank you for what you did for us on the cross, Lord, by taking our sins. In Yeshua's name, amen. Today's message is called, and we bind the strong man. I bind you, strong man. I'm stronger than you because greater is he that is in me than he that is in you and in the world. Hallelujah. Okay, this message is called, Behold How Good and How Pleasant It Is for Brethren to Dwell Together in Unity. So let's begin by reading Psalm 133. We sing it every week, but it's a very special psalm. It's a very famous psalm in Judaism and Christianity. And so Psalm 133, verse 1, Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down upon the edge of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, coming down upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forever. Hallelujah. I'll read that again. Psalm 133. I want to welcome the folks on Facebook who are tuning in. And if you'll do it standing up horizontal, not sideways, Isaac. Thank you. Let's read Psalm 133 one more time. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down upon the edge of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, coming down upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life evermore, forevermore. So when brothers dwell together in unity, and we say, Hine matovu manayim, shevet achim gam yachat, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell in yachat, in unity. The word yachad means unity, and the word echad is the word for one. It also means another form of togetherness or unity, together. It's not singular. The word echad are related to each other, and they mean a unity. They don't mean one as in one grape or one apple or one, one hot dog, one hamburger. They mean a composite unity, several coming together as one. So that just as you are today, a congregation, there's several people here, and so you are coming together theoretically in unity. Hallelujah. Can I get a hallelujah? Amen. So the word yachad, Hine matovu manayim shevet achim gam yachat, means unity, and it comes from the word echad, which is the Jewish word for one, as a man will leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become echad, one. They don't become one person, they become one in unity, they become one in spirit, they become one in vision, they become one in love, one in serving each other, one in helping one another, one in being a team with each other, one in working together. They become that's why God gave Adam a helpmate so she could help him, because he was a man. You know, I read something recently that said women who have a little extra weight, carry a little extra weight, tend to live longer than men who talk about it. Okay? Women who carry a little extra weight tend to live longer than men who talk about it. And so, seriously though, what I'm getting at is that men need a helpmate and women need a helpmate. Amen? If you don't have a helpmate, if you don't have a spouse, then you have God. And he is there's something very precious about having alone time with the Lord and being able to spend time with the King of Kings by yourself, that people who are married don't have that privacy to be alone and to worship the King And some people are very lonely, not to have, they want to have a spouse, but others are single, or they're called to be single. And it's not such a bad thing if you're called, you know, being able to spend intimacy with the Lord, you know, in the privacy of your home, wherever you are, is a very special thing. Okay. Unity among those in the assembly, okay, is the key. Listen here, in the assembly, in the congregation. Unity among those in the assembly is the key to release of God's anointing, Psalm 133 tells us. The key to unity is mutual trust between individuals. So the key to the anointing in not only the body of Messiah, but I'm talking specifically about the congregation today. The key to the anointing being released in the congregation is unity. Okay? That's the key to the anointing of God. That's why when you go to what's quote-unquote a dead church or a place, you know, they call them the frozen chosen, you know, there's no unity. People show up, they stand in the pews, they don't know the people behind them or the people next to them, they don't, you know, it's a social club in many cases, and there really isn't unity. There really, the worship is two or three songs, alleluia, alleluia, it's mechanical, and you know, there's, you know, and then they go home, you know. Now that's not completely true. I have relatives that go to a high church, and you know, they have friends and all, but there really isn't, I don't see the intimacy, I don't see the depth, I don't see the depth of prayer, or you know, I see people get cancer and die. And whereas in our midst, where we let the Spirit move, I've seen people get healed of cancer when I've never heard of anybody getting healed in those, you know, that environment from the people I know. So I won't name names. But anyway, so the key to the anointing, to the release of the anointing is our unity, Psalm 133. But the key to unity is mutual trust between individuals. Let's all say that. The key to unity is mutual trust between individuals, members of leadership, teams, trusting the senior leaders, and the senior leaders trusting the members of the leadership team. I wish everybody was here today to hear this message. Okay? It's the circle of trust that creates the unity. And trust, you know, let me just get my keys. I used to have so many keys. I owned 15 apartments. And I owned a bagel shop and a synagogue. And I used to have more keys. This is just a little example of my keys, okay? I used to have a big pile of keys, like, you know, so big that it weighed about 10 pounds. And you know who I gave, you know, you don't, who do you give keys to your house to? People you trust, right? Who do you give keys to your car to? You give your 15-year-old keys to your Porsche? Hello? Who do you give keys to your car? People that you trust. Amen? Who do you give keys to your business or to the synagogue? You give them to people that you trust. I've had people come here with the gift with many gifts of maintenance and service, but I waited months, even years, before I gave them keys and the alarm code because I didn't know those people. You see, I didn't know them, and so I didn't give them the key. Some of you have the key to this building, some of you don't. And there's a double-sided coin to that. If you have the key and something is stolen, you can be held responsible. So it's sometimes better not to have the key, With the key comes responsibility. Amen? So the key to unity is mutual trust between the congregation in general, members of leadership teams trusting each other, trusting the senior leaders, and the senior leaders trusting members of the team. The greatest challenges of a congregation are building trust, maintaining trust, and getting people motivated to serve. The greatest challenge in leading a congregation are building trust, maintaining trust, and getting people motivated to serve. Okay? Without the help of people teaching the children, leading worship, running the kitchen, planning events like a vacation Bible school or other outreaches, or even a school. Without the help of the congregation to do these things, unity doesn't really matter. It's unity with a purpose that bears fruit, that the fruit that God is after. It's unity with a divine purpose that bears the fruit that God is after. Okay? 10 of us can sit around watching reruns of Gilligan's Island, Happy Days, and General Hospital. And we can be in unity watching, you know, reruns of Gilligan's Island, Happy Days, and General Hospital. And we can be eating potato chips and pizza. And we can be in unity. But is that pleasing to God? Is that the kind of unity God wants? Hello? No, it's not. The challenge is getting people to see their blind spots. That may cause division, offense, resentment, bitterness, anger, jealousy, and even hatred. We all have blind spots. I was driving down the road the other day. I started to pull into the left lane. I looked in my mirror. There was no car. And then as I pulled into the left lane, I noticed there was a car. It was a truck. Okay? I pulled quickly back to the right lane, and everything was fine. You know, how many of us have done that where you look in your mirror and raise your hand, amen, almost everybody, you know, you're driving, you switch lanes, you don't see a car, they happen to be right just behind you in that corner right where your mirror doesn't see them. And you don't know they're there. And that's why when you drive around trucks, especially, don't sit there on the side of a truck. Whatever you do, driving down the highway, don't be sitting next to a truck thinking you're safe, that he sees you. Get in front of him or stay behind him, but don't drive next to him. Because if he pulls over, you're toast. Trust me. Okay, so the challenge in leadership is getting people, and leaders have blind spots too, to see their blind spots that may cause division, offense, resentment, bitterness, anger, jealousy, and even hatred. We're going to get into that more. This message applies to the overall body of Messiah, but is really intended for the individual congregation like ours. The rabbi can preach, I can preach countless messages about walking in the fruit of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. Love is patient, love is kind, love is long-suffering, love never boasts, love isn't selfish, love never seeks its own, you know, love bears all things, let me look at it here so I get it right. 1 Corinthians 13. This is Dawn and my ketubah, which is our marriage contract, is this chapter. In Judaism, you have a ketubah when you get married. It's a marriage contract, and it's beautiful. We had ours done in calligraphy. It's a beautiful piece of art that we've hung on the wall, and we've broken it many times. Not the picture, the words. And he says, Paul says, verse 4, love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. Wow. Just think about that one word, that one sentence. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. How many of us can go through life and not and just let a wrong suffer just slide? If you can just do that, like, you know, raise your hand if you can just a wrong suffered, just let it slide. It's good. You know, I can do it too, but I can't always do it on the day. You know, sometimes it takes me a little time to let the wrong suffered, you know, pass by. But we have to. Whether you do it on the day of or you do it three, 4 days later or a week later or a month later, you got to let the wrong suffered pass by. Okay? And that means you got to forgive. You know, we've had a forgiveness class. I've taught on all these things a million times, and many of you in this room have been here. You remember that forgiveness course, but some of you don't forgive. And some of you, you know, we don't do the things that we teach. I'm not saying everybody, but I'm just saying sometimes we don't. You know, and I can sit here, sometimes I preach till the cows come home. But anyway, let's read on. So love, verse 5, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. I'll stop there. Love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecy, so it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Okay? So, I've taught on that, forgiveness, defining sin, but I cannot teach discernment and self-awareness to make you apply those principles that some of you have known or heard for years, and you've known before you met me. Discernment as to whether you're doing these things is often a revelation from God. I'm going to give you an example of my own family. I'm the only believer in my family, okay? And I have some relatives who are not nice people, okay? But they're close relatives. They're blood, like, you know, siblings, okay? And I don't have a choice. I have to get along with them. And my mother is in hospice, okay? She is going down. She's dying. She's doing very well right now. Thank God. We pray for her. She's doing, you know, she's thriving. But you know, it won't. We know the handwriting is on the wall. She's going to be 91 on August 8th. You know, that's the circle of life, right? That's the, you know, life. We're born and we live and we die. So you know, there's no way out. You know, the question is, can me and my family learn to figure out a way to interact with each other and to love one another and continue a relationship, Today's my sister's birthday, who I don't talk to. We sent her a gift. It's not that I don't talk to her, it's more that she doesn't talk to me. I have another sister that doesn't really talk to me, you know. But, you know, if I reach out, hopefully, you know, it's extending an olive branch. Somebody has to be the big person. Somebody has to put their big boy or their big girl pants on and be the bigger person. Amen? In a broken relationship. And if you're sitting here today and you have broken relationships, please don't tell me how great you are at forgiving and getting over things, okay? If you're sitting here and you have totally broken relationships and you don't get along with people and you have, you know, private stuff in your life where you have total chaos, and this is what I'm going to talk about too, is that your life needs to be transparent. You know, as I am being transparent with you about my life, okay? Yes, I have problems with family members, but I'm making an effort to fix them. I called my brother last night. My brother did terrible things to my mother. Terrible things. But I had a nice conversation with him. He did it. It was 12 years ago. He's not so sorry about it. He thinks she's the one who's wrong. But he's my brother. He's my only brother. He's my only blood brother on earth. And I had a nice talk with him. We joked around. You know, he calls me Joey Bag of Donuts. He says, "Hey, Joey Bag of Donuts." And I say, "Marky Parky, full of malarkey." All right. So discernment. I can talk about these things, but you have to learn discernment on your own. I can lead a horse to water. Discernment is often a revelation from God. Oh, you want me to do what? That's one way discernment comes. Like the ability to know when you're downcast and depressed that it's a spirit weighing on you, robbing you of your joy and your peace. That when you're feeling a spirit of heaviness, that when you're feeling the weight of depression and the weight of sadness and the weight of, gee, I wish I never got out of bed today, and you're feeling like miserable and nothing's going, you know, you remember that song, "Everything's Going My Way," you know, and you're like, "Nothing's going my way." It's a spirit. It's a spirit of heaviness. And God says, you know, he wants to give you the oil of gladness for the spirit of heaviness. He wants to give you the garments of praise. Amen. And take away that spirit of heaviness. It's a spirit. And if you know it in here, once you learn it, because you don't know it, it doesn't come naturally. Nobody taught me in sixth grade. Nobody taught me in sixth grade that when I was having a bad day that I had a spirit of heaviness. Nobody taught me that. They didn't teach me that in college, that when I was depressed, when I was unhappy, when I was hurting, that I was miserable, whatever, that it was a spirit. And then on days when you have joy and exuberance, that, you know, and you're free. Amen. That it's a spiritual change. You have to learn. If God doesn't reveal it, you have to learn it. You have to learn that spirit is on you, and then you have to fight it. Whether that means getting friends to pray for you, or whether that means you turn on praise and worship and say, "Spirit, get off me." I was like, as Bob Solomon used to say, he'd go like this, "Shake it off." Everybody lift your hands, go like this, "Shake it off." And that's what we used to do at the Messiah Conference, 1,500 people, we'd all be shaking it off, you know. Okay, So many believers are negative because they don't recognize the spirits and therefore they don't fight them. You can learn spiritual discernment if you apply certain principles to your life and practice them daily until they become habitual. In general, God gives us an outline of how to walk the walk successfully in His Word. The greatest characteristic is love. The greatest characteristic is love. Love is an action, not a feeling. Love is being there for somebody in their moment of need when it's easy for you, and being there for them to the point of self-sacrifice and going the extra mile. Love means not just being there and doing a nice thing because it's easy, because I can, you know, because I can take my kids and buy them sneakers, because I happen to be free, and because Dix is up the road or Hibbets is up the road. That's easy love. No, it's can I put my work down for a day and spend a day with my children and make the sacrifice of putting my works aside for the sake of my kids or my family, you know, that's love. Love is a sacrifice. Love is going the extra mile, okay? Love, if you want to love somebody truly, you must go the extra mile for them, and you must turn the other cheek. If there's no sacrifice in it, then is it really love? Okay, here's some keys to preserving unity that I have found. And not only, I've not just found this from the congregation, I found it from running a business too. And having a consistent work ethic. Follow through. I've been promised the world. I had a guy one time, he promised to put new doors on my apartment building. He promised to do this and do that. He's promised me this and he promised me that. I went out and bought, you know, gave him money. He bought doors for my apartment building. He never put them on. He never painted them. The doors sat there and went, you know, they rotted. You know, that was it. You know, the job never got done. Don't tell me you're gonna do something if you're not gonna do it. Don't promise to do something if you're not going to follow through. Be consistent with your work ethic. Be consistent. Follow through. Do what you say you're going to do. Number two, faithfulness is demonstrating unwavering commitment over time. Faithfulness is demonstrating unwavering, and remember, trust is the foundation. Unwavering commitment over time. That if I'm going to trust an employee in my business, they must demonstrate unwavering commitment over time. Are they going to be happy every day? No. Are they going to grumble sometimes? Sure. You know, but are they overall, you know, and I'm going to get to this about the difference between someone who grumbles once in a while and someone who grumbles every day. All right? But faithfulness is demonstrating unwavering commitment over time. Honesty. Remember Billy Joel sang that song? Honesty is such a lonely word. Everyone is so untrue. That was a great song. Not the way I sang it, but honesty. Being truthful, and especially when you mess up. Being truthful with others, when you mess up, being honest about your mess up with yourself, with God, and with others. Okay, if it involves others. If your honesty, if you lie to somebody, you know, if it doesn't involve other people, I don't expect you to go, you know, to go. I don't expect, you know, Gene to go to Nick and say, you know, Nick, I wasn't completely honest with the guy at Target the other day. You know, has nothing to do with Nick. You know, it has to do with Target and God and Gene, you know. And I'm not saying you were, but I'm just using that as an example, right? But if it has something to do with somebody, then honesty, be upfront with everybody here. Be transparent. Okay, number four, humility. Demonstrating the ability to be humble, to not put your own needs ahead of others, but to be willing to be last and unselfish. Patience, number five. Not flying off the handle or being offended. God, I remember a couple of years ago, it seemed like every day there was a fight with the kids' ministry. It seemed like every day there was some kind of a battle, some kind of parents bickering with each other about the kids. My kid's better than your kid. Your kid did this to my kid. Adults fighting with each other. I mean, it was just absolutely ridiculous, the stuff that went on. I was like, I didn't get involved with it. Thank God Don took care of most of it. I don't even want to hear it. You know, I don't want to hear that stuff. Grow up. Not flying off the handle or being offended, but being long suffering. What does long suffering mean? It means suffering long, for a long time. Suffering for a long time. Long suffering. And tolerant of other people's warts. Tolerant of other people's warts. When you're in a congregation and you get to know people, you're going to see their warts. No matter how much they try to hide them, if you get to know them, people will hide. People will try to skip out on fellowship or skip out on a meal. They'll try to hide their warts, but sooner or later, you're going to find out if they're schizophrenic, if they're psychotic. You're going to find out if they're divorced. You're going to find out if they're a child molester. You're going to find out one way or the other, you know, they're going to find out what their warts are. The walls have ears and eyes. Amen? And you got to love them anyway. You got to love them. Now, that doesn't mean we tolerate gross sin. Gross sin is like sexual immorality. Gross sin is like stealing. Gross sin is, you know, committing an act of violence, you know, killing somebody or beating somebody, you know, beating somebody to a pulp when it's your, when you don't have to. It's one thing to defend yourself. It's another thing to attack somebody, you know. Gross immorality, pornography is gross sin. If you engage in pornography, you should be talking to me about it. You should be coming to me. If you engage in pornography on the internet, you should be talking to me, and I won't kick you out, but I will work with you to get through it and get over it. And I told one guy who couldn't, he had trouble with pornography on the internet, and I told him, I said, you know what, here's my prescription for you. Take your computer up to the second floor, open the window, and throw it in the backyard, and let's smash it, and don't buy another one. That was my prescription for his pornography problem. He didn't listen. He's not here. Okay, moving on. Number six, loyalty. It's a big one. Loyalty, demonstrating consistent loyalty to leadership, not being a gossip. Not being a gossip. There's nobody in this room that knows that, I don't think there's anybody in this room that can say that I have told them the secret things about other families, the deep things. I don't think there's anybody in this room. If you can, if I've come to you and told you about the secret things and the dark things of other people that are in, you know, in this congregation today. I'm not talking about people who were here years ago. I'm talking about people who are currently in the congregation. If you can think of, you know, that I've told you, you know, demonstrating consistent loyalty to leadership and to each other, not being a gossip, a grumbler, or a people pleaser. 1 Corinthians 10 Paul warns us that the worst thing we can do is be grumblers. The worst thing that the New Testament believers can do. Paul says, Moses and the children of Israel, they grumbled in the wilderness, and they never made the whole first generation, didn't make it to the promised land because they kept grumbling. So if there's one thing that really ticks God off, not just me, but God, it's grumbling. It's not me speaking. It's in 1 Corinthians 10. Don't be like them, Paul says. For so many thousand died in one day. I think it was 20,000 died in one day. Don't grumble. Now, you're human and you're going to grumble, but don't make it a habit and repent of it. And if you grumble, it's best to grumble to your husband or your wife than it is to grumble in the congregation. Much better to grumble at home to your spouse or a friend from another place or somewhere, you know, than it is to grumble and cause trouble and strife and division in the congregation. And don't be a people pleaser. Oh my God. I've had workers smile at me. I say, hey, can you do this? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I got that. Oh, no problem. Yeah, I'll take care of that. And, oh, don't you worry about a thing, Rabbi. I'll take care of this, and I'll do that, and I'll do this. And they'll just kiss my butt. And, you know, they're not doing it for God. They're doing it for me. And when you know what, when somebody, how many of you have met a people pleaser? Raise your hand. I'll tell you, when I'm dealing with a people pleaser, I'd rather they didn't do anything for me. I would rather a people pleaser not do anything for me. Do it for God. If you're doing it for me, do it because God tells you to do it for me. But don't try to butter me up. I'll see it eventually. You know, and I've had dealt with so many people pleasers, phonies. And you know what? They disappear. They're gone in time. Okay, number 7 or something. Your public life should mirror your private life. If you are a person of character, your public presence will mirror your private behavior. What people see should be what they get. If you have anger, control, gossip, or grumbling issues in private, you need to get a grip on them. God sees and you won't fool people, okay? God sees and you won't fool people. So if you have a private anger or control or gossip or grumbling issues in private where it's a real problem, it's a daily occurrence, fighting at home, it's going to come out. I've seen it lead to divorce. I've seen it come to divorce. You ain't going to hide it. God sees and he'll shine a light on it, and other people are going to see it too. And your whole house of cards will come tumbling down. Your whole house of cards will come tumbling down. If you don't learn to let your private life mirror your public life. Bill Clinton's public life came tumbling down. He was impeached. And, of course, excuse me. Bill Clinton was impeached for his engagement with Monica Lewinsky, conducting unofficial business in the White House. Praise the Lord. And other things. Your private life matters. Your character. I'm talking about character here. Your public life should mirror your private life. If you are a person of character, your public presence will mirror your private behavior. What people see should be what they get. If you have anger, control, gossip, or grumble issues in private, you need to get a grip on them. God sees, and you won't fool people. Maybe for a while. Number 8, be active, be involved. You can't be in unity. Remember, this is a message about unity. You can't be in unity if you're not part of things. Hello? If you're not a part of things, if you don't get involved in the congregation, if you don't do anything, how can you be in unity? Good preaching, Rabbi. By the same token, you shouldn't have to force it. If you have a gift, it will be recognized. You don't have to force it out. Begin looking for lowly places to serve. I told you before, I had a guy come to me one time, older gentleman. He said, how do I get in with the in crowd around here? I said, pick up a broom. You want to get in with the in crowd? Pick up a broom. You know, you want me to take you seriously? Do something. Pick up a broom. Wipe a table. Do something. If you want me to take you seriously, you want me to look at you and respect you and admire you and praise you? Do something. I'm doing it. Don's doing it all week long. Robin's doing it. And many of you are doing it, but many aren't. It's usually, they say it's 10% who do the work that the other 90 don't in the church. That's what they say. It's the 10% that does the work. And now, if you're new, I'm not talking to you. But if you've been around for a few years, it's time to pick up a broom. It's time to pick up a cloth, wipe a table, mop a floor, clean a bathroom, pick up after the kids. Do something. It's awful quiet in here. Okay. If you want to be recognized. Where was I? Begin looking for low. If you want your gift, let's say you're a prophet, let's say you're an intercessor, or you're a seer, you're an apostle, you want me to recognize it? Start looking for lowly places to serve and you will be noticed, okay? Start looking for lowly places to serve and I'm going to notice you. Don's going to notice you. You know, ask, how can I help? What can I do? And you'll be noticed. If you want to see your gift manifest and God use you in life, and you just not go through life sitting in a pew, keeping it warm. You know, I don't know what the reward is for that, but that's not what the Bible teaches us, is to sit in a pew and keep it warm. We're called to serve. Amen? Amen. We've had several dance leaders through the years. By the way, if you serve, if you start in lowly places, you'll be noticed. Then God will promote you. God. Promotion comes from above, not from man. Remember, no position is permanent. We've had several dance leaders through the years. I use that as an example. I've had several right-hand guys. And never get too comfortable with your position because it could change overnight. Never get too comfortable with your position. It could change overnight. Because it could, Bill O'Reilly had the number one cable network, news network program for 16 years running, and he was very proud of it. A few accusations of sexual misconduct brought him down overnight, and his TV career on Fox News ended immediately in April. Overnight, he was gone. And one day he was there, the next day he went on vacation, and he never came back from vacation. Right? Anybody know that? He was gone. 16 years, top-rated program on cable television, number one, proud of it, boasted about it, and then had some accusations of sexual misconduct, went on vacation, and he never came back. Don't get too attached to your position. It can change tomorrow. Positions are temporary. Offices are temporary. Jobs are temporary. God lasts forever. Never get too attached to your position. Always be willing to go lower, to sweep the floor, to wipe the tables, to do whatever you're asked. Availability and trustworthiness are pathways. Listen to what I just said. Availability. Everybody say that. Availability and trustworthiness are pathways to successfully serving God. If you want to be a successful servant of the Lord, you must be available. You've got to be available. If you're not available, God can't use you. Right? You got to be available. So the people that are going to be used and are going to be promoted are the ones who show up and who are trustworthy. I've had to let people go who are not trustworthy and ask them to leave. And some of you have memories of those. Availability and trustworthiness are pathways to successfully serving God. Grumbling, strife, envy, practicing immorality, causing divisions, and complaining are a surefire way to fall from grace. So let me just read something to you before I conclude. What does the Bible say about Christian character? In order to have unity, we have to have messianic, godly character. Okay? In order for us to really have unity, you see, and this is going to say it, character is defined as strength of moral fiber. A.W. Tozer described character as the excellence of moral beings, as the excellence of gold is its purity, and the excellence of art is its beauty. I don't have too much art in here. But the excellence of art is its beauty. So the excellence of man is his character. Persons of character are noted for their honesty, ethics, and charity. Descriptions such as a man of principle or a woman of integrity are assertions of character. A lack of character is moral deficiency. I'll say that again. A lack of character is moral deficiency, and persons lacking character tend to behave dishonestly, unethically, and uncharitably. I'll say that again. A lack of character is moral deficiency, and persons lacking character tend to behave dishonestly, unethically, and uncharitably. So a breakdown in character leads to a breakdown in trust. Let me give you an example. If I have a baker, and the baker starts doing drugs, and I find out, give him a drug test, and he's on, you know, methamphetamine. Okay, he's a great baker, a great bagel maker, but he's taking methamphetamine. Okay, I can't tolerate that. All right. So what happens then? There's a breakdown in character. It leads to a breakdown in trust. I had a guy who was my right hand, and you know what he did? He was an alcoholic. He was a Marine, but he had character flaws. He was an alcoholic. He was clean, and then he fell off the wagon and started drinking again, and he just totally fell apart. His life just unraveled. And I tried to save him, couldn't save him. And you know what? I witnessed several, a breakdown in character leads to a breakdown in trust, and then a breakdown in unity. I've seen this as a businessman and as a rabbi. When people's character breaks down and they fall apart, then all the trust that the years that we've built together, working together, falls apart. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what position you hold. If I can't trust you, and you can't trust me, then and you can't trust each other, then there's a breakdown, And that's not good. That's not unity. No anointing. Okay? All right. I don't have a lot more to go. A person's character is the sum of his or her disposition, thoughts, intentions, desires, and actions. It is good to remember that character is gauged by general tendencies, not on the basis of a few isolated actions. Notice what I said. It is good to remember that character is gauged by general consistent tendencies, not on the basis of a few isolated actions. In other words, we're all going to screw up, but if it's just an isolated incident, it's okay. If it's when it's a consistent pattern of messing up, that's when it's a problem. It's like Pastor Steins used to say, a Christian who lies is still a Christian who tells a lie, but a Christian who lies consistently, a person who calls himself a Christian and lies all the time, is no Christian. The Bible says all liars, all sexually immoral, and so forth, all thieves will not inherit the kingdom of God. So a person who steals once or twice, if they stop doing it, they may, go to heaven. But if they keep doing it and say, oh, grace, God is not mocked. They're probably not saved to begin with. So character is influenced and developed by our choices. A person's character is the sum of his or her disposition, thoughts, intentions, desires, and actions. It is good to remember that character is gauged by general tendencies, not on the basis of a few isolated actions. We must look at the whole life. For example, King David was a man of good character. And he was a murderer. He was an adulterer. But the overall picture of his life demonstrated good character, and God said, David is my beloved. David was God's beloved. Amen? Even though he was a murderer and an adulterer and he had, he had a lot of sin issues in his life, the overall picture showed a man who was remorseful, repentant, and who loved God. Amen? Ahab was a wicked king, and the man next door to him owned a beautiful vineyard. And Ahab's wife said, Ahab asked the man for his vineyard, and he wouldn't give it to him. So his wife said, well, we'll just take him to court, get some false witnesses, and we'll sentence him, we'll take care of it. She sentenced him to death, killed Naboth, and they took his vineyard. And so what did Ahab do? He repented to God. The prophet Elijah came to him and said, where's Naboth, Ahab repented and God forgave him. But God judged Ahab because one incident of righteousness compared to a life of transgression was not enough to save him from being destroyed. Not only was he destroyed, all, I think, 700 of his sons or something. And he had 700 sons or 70 or something. I don't know. A lot. They were all killed, put to death by Jehu. Amen? So we must look at the whole life of a person. For example, several people in the Bible are described as having noble character. Ruth. In the book of Ruth, Ruth 3:11, she's noted as being a righteous woman. It says, "And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman." Ruth 3:11. Okay. David, Psalm 78:72, was called, you know, a man of character. Job chapter 2, verse 3, was called a man of character. These individuals' lives were distinguished by persistent and consistent moral virtue. But do you see where I'm getting here with all this? That unity is based on trust. Trust is based on character. Character is based on consistency. Consistency and persistency of moral character. All right. Character is influenced and developed by our choices. Daniel resolved not to defile himself in Babylon, and that godly choice was an important step in formulating an unassailable integrity in the young man's life. Character, in turn, influences our choices. The integrity of the upright guides them. Proverbs 11:3. Character will help us weather the storms of life and keep us from sin. I witnessed several elders of a congregation fall because they disagreed with the rabbi, not this congregation. They disagreed with the rabbi regarding a Shabbat school policy. It was a Shabbat school policy, and some of the elders disagreed with the rabbi, so they took to writing emails about him to the whole congregation, speaking behind his back, gossiping about him publicly against the rabbi, and some of them quit. And they are now gone, and he played on stage with Paul Wilbur last week. That rabbi, who was my rabbi, played on stage with Paul Wilbur at the Messiah Conference. He's still around. They're gone, but he's still ticking. Amen? Because he knows how it works. All right. It is the Lord's purpose to develop character in you. The crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. Proverbs 17:3. Godly character is the result of the Holy Spirit's work of sanctification. Character in the believer is a consistent manifestation of Yeshua in your life. It is the purity of heart that God gives, becoming purity in action. God sometimes uses trials to strengthen character. He really often uses it. We also rejoice in our sufferings, it says in the Bible, because we sometimes use trials to strengthen character. We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint. Romans 5:3-7. The Lord is pleased when his children grow in character. You test the heart and are pleased with integrity. It says in 1 Chronicles 29:7, he tests the heart and he's pleased with integrity. He's pleased with your character. Capiche? We can develop character by controlling our thoughts, Philippians 4:8, which says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. We can develop character by controlling our thoughts. Practicing godly virtues, 2 Peter 1:5-6. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, long-suffering, consistency, persistence. Do you get it? Steadfastness. And steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. I'll read it again. For this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. With love. Thank you, Lord. Okay. We can develop character by controlling our thoughts. I read that. Practicing Christian virtues, guarding our hearts, and keeping good company. Men and women of character will set a good example for others to follow, and their godly reputation will be evident to all. So here's my conclusion. The whole idea of unity and developing trust in a congregation is to bring the anointing, Psalm 133. In order to be able to affect our world around us and beyond for the kingdom, if we let the little stuff and be the little foxes, they call them, if we let the little foxes and little stuff get in the way of building God's kingdom and the bigger picture, it will create a snowball effect that tears apart our unity. In other words, if we have fights in our Shabbat school, fights about the kitchen, fights about, or if we just do nothing, you know, if everybody goes their own way, if everybody just leaves and goes their own way, we could have had a vacation Bible school. I said this to somebody the other night. We could have had a vacation Bible school here this year. Nobody took the initiative to say, hey, Rabbi, in February or January or whatever, let's have a vacation Bible school. Okay. But if somebody had, I would have said, sure, let's do it. Great idea. Nobody took the initiative. Instead, everybody's children are going to different vacation Bible schools somewhere else, and the children of this neighborhood, who need more than just the vacation Bible school up the street, you know, we might come here. Amen? But if we all scatter instead of being in unity, we're useless, aren't we? Amen. So, if we let the little stuff get in the way, it will create a snowball effect that tears apart our unity and then our mutual trust. So you got to take your commitment seriously. If you made a commitment to this place, you got to show up. Show up for prayer. Do something. Volunteer. If you got a gift on the praise team, gosh, Dawn lost her voice today. We need help. We need musicians. We need singers. We need people, you know, to help us. Pray for us that God sends more people for the praise team. Don and I have been doing it for 18 years. Since 2003, we've been just me and her, pretty much. And then Diane came a lot later. And Wendell singing, but we need more musicians and we need more lead singers. The enemy is always trying to divide us by dropping offenses and situations that cause division. Each of us must strive to learn the enemy's tactics and to not let them throw us off our path. Some have even been devoured and defeated by the enemy. A marvelous demonstration of our unity can be seen in the dance. Messianic dance is a team effort. It does not focus on the individual, but on the group's ability to move together in unison. In the dance, you can learn to become so one with each other when you do it and you know it so well that you don't even think about the steps. You're just moving instinctively with those around you as you follow the leader. And it becomes such an act of unity and worship When you practice it, you know the steps. Am I right, ladies? You know what you're doing. You know the steps, and you're worshiping, and it becomes, God takes you to a place, you know, because you're not having to focus on the things around you, but you're focusing on God, and you're worshiping Him with your body and as a group in unity. Oh, my God, that brings the anointing. How awesome is that? Lastly, take note of negativity, of gossip. It is one thing to share about another's troubles so that you can pray for that person. It's another to bash and to gossip for the purpose of bringing that person down. It's one thing to share a person's needs, you know, to say, so-and-so, did you hear so-and-so had a stroke, or did you hear so-and-so struggling? Pray for them, you know. But it's another thing to bash and to gossip for the purpose of bringing that person down. Beware of divisions and strife, envies and jealousies. Catch yourself before they take you down. If somebody has a problem with the senior leaders, your job is to tell. Don't go to somebody else. You got a problem with me and Don? I know I'm a scary guy. Most people don't want to mess with me. Okay, punk. This is a Magnum 44, the biggest gun, handgun made. I can't remember if I've shot 4 or 5 rounds. So you got to ask yourself one question, punk. Do you feel lucky? Well, do you, punk? Do you? Yeah, I'm a tough guy. People are afraid of me. But they shouldn't be. Because I'm really not that tough. They say they're afraid. I was afraid to go to you. I don't want to call you. I'm the easiest going guy there is. I'm not Dirty Harry. Okay? I'm not. I'm just a big rabbi. I'm a big teddy bear. Call me up. You got a problem with me, don't go calling somebody else to complain and gripe about me, okay? You got a problem with me, come to me. You got a problem with Don, go to Don. But don't go calling somebody else, especially if you're in leadership. If you're in leadership here and you start calling another person and griping, you're going to cause an avalanche of griping and grumbling that you're going to regret that you ever started. You understand? You got a problem, go to your brother. You go to your brother. If Carol, if you have a problem with Amber, you go to Amber. And if that doesn't work, then you go to Don or me and bring us, and we'll go with you. That's the Bible's way. Amen? Don't go to Greg about your problem with Amber, you know, go to Amber. Okay, I'm almost done here. So your job is to lift your leader's arms and support them. If something we do bothers you, ask yourself, is my leader's action or even my Shabbat school director's action or dance leader's action? I've had dance leaders attacked. You know, I've had them attacked for their ideas. Some of you remember this, when people on the dance team attacked the leader because they didn't like the way they were leading or the dance they wanted to do, or they thought they could do it better or whatever. And there was fights and squabbles on the dance team years ago. You know, what is the motive for your action? Does it go against the word? In other words, if I do something that causes people to grumble, think about what I did. Is my action against? Does it go against the word of God? Okay. If I do something that bothers you, ask yourself this question: Is what Rabbi did against God's word? Did he violate the scripture? You know. Did he break the law? Did he break the Torah? Did Did he break the law of Yeshua? Did he break the Ten Commandments? Did he break the Beatitudes? Or did it just irritate me? Ask yourself. That's serious. Think about those things. Test everything. And remember, God gave you two ears and one mouth so you could listen more and talk less. Shabbat shalom. Let's all stand up. And I'm not going to do my Dirty Harry impression again today. Okay. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yisem lecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom, give you peace. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah and Prince of Peace. Shabbat shalom. Greet one another, hug one another, shake hands. And there's bagels and cream cheese and coffee.